Tonight's shiur is being sponsored by Linda and Mark Grunbaum, Ruthie Eliezer Stavsky, a member of Judith Grunbaum, Yehudis Bas Yosef Halevi. Seems like it's been a long time since we said the shiur last, because the truth is it has been a long time. So I think this is our latest start of all year, as opposed to the end of start. So what I want to try to do over the next couple of weeks or months, depending how long this topic is really take one, in a certain sense, fundamental topic in really all of our Shemitz and Mitzvahs and all of the Koach HaMesorah, and that exactly, what is the role of Chazal? What exactly is the role of the Chachamim in terms of interpreting the Dinim in the Torah, in terms of adding to the Dinim in the Torah, in terms of sometimes subtracting in a certain limited circumstance from the Dinim in the Torah, where the Chazal's authority begins and where it ends, and what the limitations and the scope of all the Chachmei Torah, both in terms of the Chachmei Gemara, Chachmei Mishnah, Chachmei Zman Hazeh. So hopefully we'll touch on many, many important topics in terms of just the basic understanding of how Pesach Halach and how the Mesorah works. So the first of our topics in the series is, in a certain sense, really the ABCs. And that is, what exactly is the role of the Chachamim to institute new Dinim Midirabbanan? The whole concept of Dinim Midirabbanan is a very difficult concept to understand. Where it comes from, what is the justification for it? Is the Torah Hashem Tamima, Hashem Baruch Hu gave us 613 mitzvahs, so halavai, we should keep the 613 mitzvahs. Why do we find that the Chachamim institute for us Dinim Derabbanan, Nisum Derabbanan, Mitzvahs Derabbanan, Hagim Derabbanan, all the different parts of the whole concept of Dinim Derabbanan, where in the world does all this come from? So part of the answer, at least according to some of the Rishonim, has its roots back in the Chumash itself, which is perhaps the most basic fundamental pasuk for everything we're going to talk about for the next few months. That's the first in the Ma'amar Kamos. Usually don't put Pesukim on Chumash on the Ma'amar Kamos, but I just couldn't hold back on this. Everything we're going to talk about is going to revolve around this pasuk. The Torah in Sefer Devarim, in Pasha Shoft, in Berkid Zayi, Pasuk Yid Aleph, the background of this Pasuk, I didn't put all the Pesukim on, but the background of the Pasuk is, you're not sure what to do, you have a Shal and Halacha, what do you do? So the Torah says, you go to the Beit HaNagol, you go up to Yushalayim, Amokho Shiv Hashem, and you ask the Rabbanim, you ask the Dayanim in the Beit HaNagol, that's sitting in the Beit HaMikdash, what should we do? And when they issue their Pesach, so what do you do? The Torah says, in the first time of Ramakamas, Pasuk Yid Aleph, so here the Torah, both as a mitzvah saseh, as a positive commandment, as well as a mitzvah lo saseh, as a prohibition, tells us that we are bound to listen to the words of the Chachmei HaTorah, particularly the context that the Torah is talking about, is the Beis HaGadol sitting in Yerushalayim in the Beis HaMikdash. The Torah says there's a mitzvah of taseh and an isur lo sasur. We're just going to call it lo sasur, just for simplicity. But whenever we use the term lo sasur, we are already referring to these series of psukim, both the mitzvah saseh and the lo saseh of lo sasur. So it's clear that the Torah tells us that we are obligated to listen to the Chachamim. There's a mitzvah and an isur deraisa of taseh and lo sasur. So the Rambam, in the second of the Ma'amar Kamos, the beginning of Hilchos Mamre, Perek Aleph, Lacha Aleph, just gives us a little bit of an understanding before he gets into the nitty gritty in terms of halacha, what exactly we're supposed to listen to. The Rambam just puts things into perspective, just how serious a mitzvah this is. This is not just one of the 613 mitzvahs, this is a fundamental mitzvah in the sense of the Rambam, Lacha Aleph, Beis Din Agadol Shebishalayim, Hin Ikar Tersha Ba'alpeh. Says the Rambam that the Beis Din in sitting in Yerushalayim, in the Beis HaMikdash, is the basic foundation of all of Tarshu B'Feh. The Heim Amudei HaHorah, they are literally the pillars of Piskei Halacha. U'mehem Chok Mishpat Yotzei L'Chol Yisrael. It is only through their words that the ultimate Pesach Halacha goes out to all of Klal Yisrael. Ve'aleihem Hivticha Torah, and it is concerning them, concerning the Beis Din HaGadol in Yerushalayim, that the Torah has promised us, Shenema Al-Pi HaTorah She'erucha Zu Mitzvah Zeseh. The Torah has been sumich on them, the Torah has relied on them, and gives us this mitzvah. And then just in case we didn't catch the message, the Rambam, in case he was too subtle, the next line is about as blunt as you can get. V'chol ha-ma'amin b'Moshe Rabbeinu v'Torasoi. Anyone who believes in the truth of Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah, anyone who sang last week of the Torah, Moshe Emes v'Torasoi Emes, so the Rambam says, you better know what that means. What it means is, chayev lismuch ma'aseh das alev rishon alhem. Anybody who truly believes in Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah, believes in the truth about Mesorah, so must rely upon the Pesach HaBeis HaGadol. It is inconceivable for a person to say, yeah, I believe in the Bible, and I believe in the Moses, but I don't believe in the Rabbi's interpretations, I don't believe in the Chazal, I don't believe in the Beis HaGadol, the Lishkas HaGadol, the whole story. So the Rambam says that is absolutely out of bounds, that anyone who believes in Torah's Moshe, by definition, believes in the Koach B'Chach Torah, because the Torah itself says it. Torah says black and white. Apiyat Torah she'erucha lo sasur adavah she'yuchah mi'asmo. So now we, hopefully now, we know quite well that this concept of listening to the Chachmei Torah is absolute and is non-negotiable. But the question becomes, what exactly does that mean? What are the parameters? What is the Beis HaGadol saying? So is the Beis HaGadol telling me something about a din d'oraisa? Are they instituting new dinim d'rabbanan? Are they telling me things which are not even halachic in nature altogether? What exactly is the Beis HaGadol saying that we are bound to listen to them? So the Rambam continues in Halacha Beis. So the Rambam, we're going to pick it up from the fourth line in that Rambam. First, the Rambam tells you what are the ramifications of not listening. So when the Rambam thinks about the concept of Rizak and Mamre, we'll speak about it a little bit later on. But in the fourth line of that Sefer Maromokom, so the Rambam says, this parashat Chumash about listening to the Chachamim, it applies to the following. This refers to three distinct categories of halacha. The Rambam enumerates. The first is things which are learned out by pi hashmua. The pi hashmua is a term that the Rambam always uses when he's describing something which is literally with pi hashmua. I heard it from my rabbi, from his rabbi, from his rabbi, from his rabbi, all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Even within things which are pi hashmua, the Rambam further differentiates. In the Rambam, the Perush Mishnayos, the Rambam talks about certain things which are pi hashmua, which have absolutely no basis in the Torah Shabbat. You can look from today till tomorrow for any remez, a hint, allusion to Torah Shabbat, you won't find it. That's what the Rambam says is the pure term called Halacha Moshe Nisinai. Let's say, for example, the Gemara says that tefillin have to be square. It's Halacha Moshe Nisinai. You can open up Chumash from today till tomorrow, look at every Vav and S and every possible Rebut. You'll never, ever, ever find any hint in the Chumash that the tefillin have to be square. How do we know they have to be square? Because my Rebbe told me, and his Rebbe told him, and his Rebbe told him, all the way back on Moshe Kibbutz Torah Nisinai. So that's one part of the Pi Hashmua. Then the Rambam breaks down further in his Akdamah to Perish and Mishnayos. The Pi Hashmua sometimes can refer the halachas that have a remez in the Chumash. They're alluded to in the Chumash. The Torah does say something, but it's unclear what the meaning of the Chumash is. So we need the Pi Hashmua to translate for us what exactly what the meaning of the precise meaning of the Torah was. Let's say, for example, just in a Sukkis, the Torah says Priyei Tadar. You have to take on Sukkis a beautiful fruit for a beautiful tree. An apple, orange, but apple. What tree? What fruit? What are we talking about? So the only way that we know that it's an Esrog, because my Rebbe told me it's an Esrog, and his Rebbe told me it's an Esrog, all the way back at Moshe Kibbutz Torah Mesinai. That's also considered to be Pi Hashmua. So there is a slight nuance of a difference between those two cases. One is that there's not even any remnant, any inkling, any interpretation whatsoever in the Torah Shabbat that alludes to the fact that it's going to have to be square. Whereas in the second shot, the Torah Shabbat Peh, the Pi Hashmua is translating in the proper halachic context what the meaning of a pasuk is. But the bottom line is, the common denominator is, they're both the Pi Hashmua. So the Rambam says that whenever the Chachamim and Yerushalayim tell you that they have learned something of Pi Hashmua, they have the following tradition to be true, Ad Moshe Rabbeinu, so that's pure Torah Shabbat Peh. And if a person says, I'm not going to listen to them, so he's in violation of this Isra in the Torah of Lo Sosor. In addition, he happens not to be Yotzei the Mitzvah. So if a person comes to the Beis Din and asks them, what should my tefillin look like? So the Beis Din says they have to be black and they have to be square. And the guy says, nah, I don't think so. I'm going to do things my own way. I'm going to make them circle in green. So not only did he violate Lo Sosor, and not only was he revolt on the Mitzvah of Ta'aseh, but he was also revolt on another Mitzvah, the Mitzvah of Tzol, seems to my sense, Tzol, apostle. So the guy loses more, not just that he loses the mitzvah tefillin, but he's violation of these dinim, which the Rambam called the Amudi Arah, the Ikar Maisi Adas. So that's the first category that the Chum have absolute complete authority in to tell us what a din d'oraisa is, i.e. what a Torah Shabbat Peh is. But then the Rambam says, here he's writing very b'kitzur, what he writes much, much more b'arichos in his introduction to Bereishis Mishnayos. Here the Rambam continues, the echad dvarim at the end of the fourth line, the echad dvarim shalomnu b'pidaitam, b'yachas b'nat midah sh'atar nidrashas b'hem, v'nira b'enem sh'davah zekachu. So the Rambam, the second category where the Chum of absolute authority is in the realm of interpreting the dinim d'oraisa based on the midah she'atar nidrashas b'hem. We know that part of the Messiah that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu was not only the dinim themselves, not just that the Kadosh Baruch Hu gave him a list, so on his this and so was that and shofar this and matzah that, but he taught Moshe Rabbeinu the tools how to extrapolate one din from another din. So some of those tools we mention at the davening every morning. We speak about the Rebbe Shmuel Omer, the Kavachomers, the Gzeirah Shavos, the Dinavs, etc. Those are some of them. Now, it's not an exhaustive list, there are a few others, but basically the different midos that Chazal used, we see it's hard to go from any daf and gemara without seeing some kind of an application. Either it's a kavachon, it's a gzereshav, it's a bidinav, it's a mamatzin, it's a hekish or something, s, avav, whatever the different midos that are used in order to understand what the inner meaning of the dini after are, how to apply them to other new circumstances. So the Rambam says this authority is also granted dafka to the Beis and Agogol. They're the ones, Chachamim, sitting on the Sanhedrin, they're the ones who have the right to make such drushes, and we are bound by their drushes. There is a little bit of a difference between the two categories, and the first category, the Rambam tells us in Chos Mamrim, that everyone agrees to, in the sense of there's no machlokes. Everyone agrees to fill in a black, and everyone agrees to fill in a square, and everyone agrees in an esrog. In the second category, it's up for grabs, because I can dash in the kavachamir this way, and you can negate the kavachamir. I can dash in the hekesh this way, you can dash the pasuk that way. So it's a subject to my understanding of the midos, how I use the midos that were given to Moshe Rabbeinu, and you have machlokes, so you pass it based on rov. But once the Sanhedrin comes to a conclusion, they pass it up the din, the kavachamir is a valid kavachamir. So for me to go and say, I don't think your kavachom is valid, I'd like to go and pass it a different way, so I'm in violation of this din and the Torah of lo sasur. That's the second category that the Chum have absolute authority in. So they can relate to us a pre-existing Tersh Rabbah, and they can also interpret for us a din deraisa based on their understanding of the midas. But now the Rambam gets to the part that's most relevant for tonight's Shia. Then the Rambam continues. The echad varm shasom siyag la Torah. Sometimes the Chachamim do neither of the two of the above categories. They're neither telling us the Tersh Rabbah, a pre-existing halacha, nor are they applying a midah shatari to them, but rather they're making up something new, something that a new need has come up, and they have to respond to that need. What could that need be? So sometimes the need is in a negative sense, sometimes it's in a positive sense. That's what the Ram says, they make a gezeira, that sometimes the Chum have to make a gezeira. So gezeira means there's some kind of a need for decree. Maybe in previous generations they didn't have that need. Now there is a need. So let's say, for example, Bishalach, the Chum made a gezeira, don't eat food that was cooked by a goy. Why did they make that gezeira? Because they felt it was a need. It was too much socializing with the non-Jews. So they instituted a gezeira called Bishalach. Maybe 100 years before, there was no need for that gezeira. Well, let's say many are learning Daf Yomi now, so we're in right smack in all the sugars of the Yilchaz Dovar. So the Chachamim made 18 gezeiras in the realm of Tumah V'Tahara towards the end of Bayisheni. So why did they make these gezeiras now? Right at this point, it's hard to know. It's hard to get back historically what was going on. What led them to make these gezeiras now? But let's say for the last 500 years, there was no need for this gezeira. Now they realize there is a need for this gezeira. So they made gezeira X, Y, and Z. So that's the Fima Shat Sericha. But those are only midrabbanan. Well, let's say you have takanas and then hug him. Let's say you have dinim derabanan. So all of a sudden you have a tremendous nes called Purim. So now there's a big need. You have to respond to the nes. So the Chachamim made a takana. You should read the Megillah. You should give shalach manas. A couple hundred years later, big nes happens again. So we respond to the need. We make a takana. We make a din derabanan called the mitzvah of Neres Chanukah. And you have other things, sometimes in the realm of the Imamunas and other areas. You have a Beit Tikkun HaOlam, so there's the Masechet Gittin, the famous series of Mishnayos and Gittin, different institutions that the Chachamim made for that they felt to improve the world. Let's say Takanas Pruzbul. So Hillel made a Takana called the Pruzbul. Before the days of Hillel, probably there wasn't such a big need for that Takana. Hillel saw the need, so he made the Takana. So you have this all the time throughout the years. You had the Beis Din. Hagadah was responding to whatever the needs were, making new dinim derabanan, dinim derabanan, both in terms of los aseis and in terms of aseis. And says the Rambam, it's in this third category of halacha that the Chum also have absolute authority. And kol echad v'yechad me'ev l'shosh adroim mitzitetz l'shmolen v'oivir al echad me'en oivir b'los aseis. So the Rambam says that all three of these are equal in the sense that they're all part of the mitzvah los aseis. And the Rambam proves it from the Pesuchim Eir Oimer, ha'piyat Torah she'yarucha anything that the Chachamim institute to strengthen the religion and to improve the situation in the world, that's part of us also. The second half of the pasuk is referring to dinim that are derived from the midah shetanidash. That refers to the mesorah, not kabbalah here in the Zohar sense, in the sense of the mesorah about how to observe the mitzvahs properly. So the bottom line is when all the dust settles, the Rambam sheet is quite clear that the Chachamim in the Lishkas Agadas and Beis Hamikdash have the ultimate authority in pre-existing dinim deraisa, applying dinim deraisa to new cases, as well as to make up new dinim derabanan. It is this last category that not all the Rishonim agree to, and that's what in the third of the Mamakomos, the Lech Mishnah on that Rambam quotes from the Ramban who disagrees. The reason why I gave it is a secondary source other than the Ramban himself, because the Ramban is about 50 pages long. The Ramban in Sefer Mitzvah says, Kashas, another Kasha against the Rambam, so we condense it a little bit for convenience purposes. So comes the Lech Mishnah and asks the question, Haramban's out, Hisigar Rabbeinu? The Ramban asks the question against the Rambam, Imkein, Kol Divrei Sefer, Vavilavi Asay? If the Rambam is correct that all Binim Derabbanon are included in Los Asor, so that any time a person is in violation of a Din Derabbanon, he is in effect in violation of a Din Deraisa. So what that means practically is, if a person moves Muktza, he violated the Law of Deraisa. Not the Law of Chil Shabbos. The Law of Chil Shabbos is only on the Melachos Deraisa. But he violated the Law of Los Asor. If a person eats Bishalakom, he's in violation of Los Asor. If a person doesn't hear the Megillah, and person doesn't light Nes Hanukkah, he's in violation of Los Asor. So yeah, that's what the Rambam just said. So the Ramban says, what? How could that be? Can the Rambam really be that? So then we should find that in the world of halacha that anytime there's a shaila about a din derabbanan, we should be as machmer about din derabbanan as we are about din deraisa, which is clearly not the case. We all know that the person comes to Rav and asks the shaila. So the first thing that goes through the Rav's mind is, are we in the realm of deraisa or derabbanan? If it's a deraisa, then we're more machmer. If it's a derabbanan, then we're more lenient. Speak a deraisa l'chumra, speak a derabbanan l'kula. We rely on certain sheikhs for derabbanan, not for deraisas. So comes the Ramban and says, according to the Rambam, that whole premise of halacha, that there's any real difference between what deraisa was derabbanan, just throw it away, son. If the Rambam is right, that every derabbanan, by definition, now becomes transformed to be a deraisa, because the violation or the non-fulfillment of any derabbanan is tantamount to violating the din of Los Asor, so then how could the whole halachic system work? The whole system is predicated on this basic difference that there's deraisas in one corner and the derabbanan in another corner. According to the Rambam, it's not true. According to the Rambam, all the derabbanan just basically became became deraisas. The line of demarcation between deraisas and derabbanan is so blurry, it's non-existent, according to the Rambam. So the Ramban says it's not possible. Lo yitochen, can't be. Anyone who ever linked Gemara knows right away that deraisas is in one category, derabbanan is in another category. So what's John the Rambam? So the Lech Mishnah continues. At the end of the third line, v'hinei b'kiryas sefer shechiber Rav Maritrani, that Marit wrote a sefer called Kiryas Sefer on the Rambam. V'chiras sefer herach l'taritz zeh. So he spent a lot of time trying to explain away the shittus of Rambam. For klal b'var pain. So I didn't look at the Kiryas Sefer itself, but just from the way the Lech Mishnah is quoting it, it sounds like he's doing a very good job in being the katya. Sounds like it was quite a essay. But bottom line to the Lech Mishnah means very simple. So the Chachamim said that we don't want people to violate their abundance right and left. We don't want people to be in violation of Los Asor right and left. So the Chachamim, when they instituted the Dinim Derabbanan, they instituted it in the following way. The Kevin Shekain, in and over, Masha Tzivsa Torah. Sha Torah lo Tzivsa, Elo Shishbu Lehem, Sha Omrim Chachamim, Mebatzvam Amr, Shle Yachu Divirem Achmer Lohokel. So basically, comes the Lech Mishnah and quotes those, beginning of the Teretz, it says as follows, that the same Chachamim who instituted the Yisra of Mukta, the same Chachamim who instituted the Yisra of Bishalakam, built into the Yisra of Derabbanan and said, you have a right to be Mekel. So we can't get Kikash anymore. Hey, how can I be Mekel on a Safek Derabbanan? After all, it's a violation of the Torah. No, the Chacham said you're allowed to be Megal. Means once the Chacham, we have a Pesha Asa Pesha Yitir, the same Chacham who created the Yisra, the same Chacham who created the Heter. So once I'm not violating what the Chacham said anymore, then there's no violation of the love of the Araisa. So in theory, every Derabbanan is a Araisa, unless the Chacham tell otherwise. So once the Chacham, since they're the ones who are creating the parameters of the Din in the first place, they're creating the Yisurim, they have the ability to create that Heterim as well. So when all the dust settles, says the Lech Mishnah, in the perfect world, in theory, anyone who violated the Rabbanan should be on par with violating the Araisa. But the Chum themselves said that it's only true if it's Vadei Asur, Shoros. Once there's a Safek, the Chum and Heimam and Heimam, they're the ones who said that it's not really going to be Asur in the first place. Okay. Yeah, I mean, they created, because the Chum created that middle category, so they have a right to say that we want to be maker when it comes to Sveikas. So with all the dust battles, according to the Rambam, now with this new version of what the Rambam is telling us, so yes, it's true that violating a Darabonin is a violation of their Derech, that's true. But only when the Chum tell you so. If the Chum tell you that you're allowed to do this Darabonin because it's something Darabonin Makula, then it becomes no longer a violation. It comes circular logic. You can't start asking, well, let it be also Derech. It can't be also Derech. It's only also Derech when the Chum tell you that you're not allowed to do it. So even though we had a little bit of a glitch in the Rambam, at least we understand where the Rambam is coming from. According to the Rambam, we understand where the Rabbanim are from. We understand how they fit into the world of Halacha. They're basically rooted in Lo Sasar. Not every single case will be a violation of Lo Sasar, but for the most part, the person who really doesn't light Neres Chanukah, the person who really doesn't have the Megillah, the person who doesn't wash the Sedaim, the person who moves Moksi, Bishlachim, the person who violates Yisurim Derabanim, Mitzvah Derabanim, the bottom line is he really is in violation of Lo Sasar. But the Ramban disagreed. The Ramban was of the opinion that Lo Sasar is limited only to the first two categories of Halacha, only to the Deraisas, only to the Tefillin the Square, Esrog is an Esrog, and only to the case of Kavachav is a Gzir Shavas, etc. But once you're in the realm of Dinim Derabanan, so then Lo Sasar doesn't apply. There is no requirement of Lo Sasar on things which are only made up by the Chachamim. So now the question becomes obvious according to the Ramban. So how do we understand the whole body of Halacha called Dinim Derabanan? According to the Ramban, why can't I move books on Shabbos? What is preventing me from moving books on Shabbos? What's forcing me to light near Chanukah? The Chachamim? I don't have to listen to the Chachamim. So it's even a catch 22. According to the Ramban, you don't have to listen to the Chachamim based on Lo Sasar. So if I don't have to listen to the Chachamim based on Lo Sasar, so why in the world do I have to do Dinim Derabanan? So the answer is, according to the Ramban, it's obvious there's something else going on here. There's obviously something else in between the lines that is the source for the obligation of listening to the Chachamim. If it's not Lo Sasar, what else could it be? So you got to look really, really hard to find what is the other Mechayev, according to the Ramban, the other approach, the approach of the Ramban, what is the Mechayev to do to keep, to observe Mitzvah Derabanan? So part of the story appears in the fourth of Rimei Mekamot, in Masechet Yevamos, from the back of the page. Fandav Chaf Aleph, Lamed Aleph. The Gemara is discussing a series of Dinim Derabanan, particularly in the realm of Gilui Arayos. We know that the Torah is very explicit as to which women are prohibited in terms of Gilui Arayos, and Pashas Achimos, and Pashas Kedoshim. And then in addition to those women, so the Gemara spells out in the second verse of Yevamos, there are a whole series of other women that one is not permitted to marry mid Derabanan because it's just too close for comfort. It looks like an Erevah. It's Shaychus to an Erevah. So the Gemara explains those through the details. The Gemara says, let's say, Minat Torah, so if it's the father's brother's wife, you're not allowed to marry her, but if it's the mother's brother's wife, you are allowed to marry her, things like that. So Minat Torah is technically mutter, but that does look right. It's a gezeira, we're afraid if you violate these kinds of things, the next thing you know, you're going to violate the real arayis, the arayisa. So the Gemara spells out all these isurim, it's called shnios li'arayis. So shnios li'arayis are not the fairish in the Chumash. How do you know? You have to observe them. That's the Gemara's kasha. Remez the shnia. Where do you know? We stay in the Chumash. You have to observe these things. Al nachimos, al nekadoshim. So how do you know? You have to observe them. So coming to Gemara, in the fourth of the Gemara, comes to Yivam, Sopal, Fem, Aleph, Rav Kahana, Amar, Mehocha, Ushmartem, Es Mishmarti, Asu Mishmeres, Le Mishmarti. So Rav Kahana says, if you look at the end of Parshas Arayis, the Torah says, Ushmartem, Es Mishmarti. You have to guard my guarding. You have to make sure to guard the mitzvah Torah. What does that mean, to guard, to shmira? If you keep the mitzvah, you don't keep the mitzvah. What does it mean to be shomer? So shomer means to make a fence. Shomer means to guard. It means it's not enough just to say, I'm not going to eat the fruit from the orchard. No, I'm going to build a fence around the orchard so no one's going to come and eat the fruit. So comes the Torah and says, Ushmartem es mishmarti, is a chiyuv to make siyogim, to make gzeiros, make a chokes from dinim which were deraisa. Even though the Torah doesn't spell out this particular siyog, but any siyog that's made, a siyog la Torah, is always included in the parasha of Ushmartem es mishmarti. So if that's the case, then we have a beginning of an understanding for what the Shittas of Ramban is, that perhaps dinim derabanan are based on this pasuk. They're not based on Lo Sasar. Lo Sasar is only for dinim deraisa, only for piyashmu as in for midish atanidash them. But Ushmartem es mishmarti means you have to make gezeiras. So whenever the Chachamim feel there's a need for a gezeira, so that becomes chazal sizing up and saying there's a significant enough need, that's called a sumishmeres patayra, a susiyag patayra. So this is not just our guess, but this is what the Ramban himself says in the Feirish. The Ramban in the fifth of the Ramban Kamos in Parshas Beschanan, Perek Dal, Pasuk Beis, the Rambam writes, the Rambam writes in Umasha, Tiknu Chacham Mishum Geder, anything that the Chachamim instituted as a Geder, as a fence, as a safeguard, Kigon Shnius Darius, like Shnius Darius, Vichayayti Behen. So the Rambam is quick to say this is not limited to Shnius Darius, it's any other Din Darabonim. Whenever there's a Din Darabonim that's instituted by Torah Siyag, is automatically Zui Mitzvah Dera Torah. So Yimuchuyah, based on Mishmatis Mishmati, to listen to the Chachamim. So in one fell swoop, the Ramban just explained away 99.99% of Dinim Darabonim. If you think about it, most of the Dinim Darabonim that we have are B'Torah Siyag. You don't have to go past the first Mishnah Brachas. The first Mishnah Brachas says that they made a Siyag to be Krishna before Chatzos. So just if you think in your own mind, some of the more familiar Dinim Darabonim that we have, Muktzah. So Gezeir, if you do Muktzah, you can end up doing other things in Shabbos that are inappropriate. Or Bishalachim. You do Bishalachim, you can end up maybe a chastis, marrying a non-Jewish woman. Or whatever other list of, the Torah says you can't eat meat and milk cooked together. So if a person eats chicken and milk cooked together, that's also going to lead him. Next thing you know, you can eat meat and milk together. So kaheda v'kaheda. So every time you have an Issa d'Rabbanan, it's always also the Torah Siyag. And whenever it's a Siyag, it's automatically Shmatmas Mishmati. So this explains 99.999% of the d'Rabbanan, but not the whole picture. There's a little bit missing. Because every once in a while we find that the Chachamim make a din derabanan, which is not b'Torah Siyag. There's no, it's not protecting anything. So what are some examples of din derabanan? So we know there are seven famous din derabanan, seven famous mitzvahs derabanan. So the truth is that besides all these surim derabanan, there are seven situations where the Chachamim made a formal mitzvah essay. So many of them are also rooted, some of them are also rooted in low sasei. So I'll say, for example, Erevin. Chachamim made a takana that even though min haTorah you're allowed to carry in a certain area, min derabanan you have to make what's called an Erev Chateros. So even though we make a bracha, shekhi dishanam, it's a Erev, but it's to protect us from violating Hilchos Shabbos. Well, let's say in Yom Tov, you make an Erev Tafshilin to prevent us from violating and cooking on Yom Tov like you did. So those are also siyagim. Well, let's say in the Tefillah Shadayim, so you know, daf yomi, today's daf, about of, I think tomorrow's daf, depending on which time of the day and night you do the daf. So the Gemara speaks about the Tefillah Shadayim. So the Tefillah Shadayim, we make a bracha as if it's a mitzvah sasei, but it's really rooted in lo sasei. We wash our hands because it's a gezeira, otherwise the tumah is going to become tameh, we're going to make a mistake. Al langa megillah with the hands of shniyah, so the tameh the tumah, whole chagadim. So that's also a din derabanan that was introduced to protect a din derais. It's a gezeira, it's a siyam. But every once in a while we run into a din derabanan, it's not protecting anything. There's a din derabanan to hear the megillah and purim. What in the world is that protecting? There's a din derabanan to light near Chanukah. There's a din derabanan to light near Shabbos. What are we protecting? What's the gezeira? What's the siyag? These are mitzvahs essay. They were instituted because they wanted to enhance any Shabbos and they wanted to enhance Pesumei Nisa. Whatever reason that the Chum instituted these din derabanan, the reasons are beautiful, but like, what in the world, what authority did the Chum have to institute these things? Why do we have to listen to them? So again, the Rabbah would say, why do you have to listen to them? I told you. Because if you don't listen to them, so you're not a ma'amim b'teres m'shubenu. But the Ramban says, I'm a ma'amim b'teres m'shubenu. I'm just telling you that that's not what the salsa means. So according to the Ramban, so Hadar Kushla Dukhba, why do you have to, what's the mechayef, what's the obligation to listen to the Chachamim when they institute things that you're only, quote-unquote, with the Rabbanon, and they're not the Torah Siyag, they're not Gezeiros. The Gezeiros, they understand. That's a Sus Yagot Torah. But where do the mitzvahs ask the positive mitzvahs come into the picture? So the Ramban is not 100% clear on what the answer to this question is. Lefini is daiti. I think what the Ramban is saying, and hopefully we're going to talk about this Ramban more in the up and coming Yeshurim, it's part of the same Ramban of Parshas Chana. I didn't put the whole thing on now because I want to speak about the bulk of this at a later time, but we'll just be running through it very, very quickly. The context of that Ramban is the din of the Torah of Baal Tosef. You're not allowed to add on to the Mitzvah Torah. So we spoke about this Ramban in the past. Ramban quotes his interpretation of the Gemara Masechet Megillah that claims that at the time when Mordechai Yester wanted to institute the Yom Tov Purim, there was a big debate amongst the Chachamim, do we have a right to do that? What happened to Baal Tosef? How can we add on to the Mitzvah Torah? And finally the debate was solved. Finally they resolved it and they said we can add on to Purim. That's okay. What was the answer? Why are you allowed to add on? So the Gemara Masechet Megillah says, because the Chachamim realized that we're not really adding on to the mitzvahs, we're merely applying a pre-existing mitzvah. What was the pre-existing mitzvah? When Klal Yisrael was saved at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, they responded to Az Yesh Emoshe. They sang songs, there was a celebrate Pesach, Smir, Shus, Nishbachos, Hal, etc. So the Chachamim realized that the Torah was giving us the bottle of how to respond to a nace. The Torah is telling us, you respond in such and such a manner. So now, the truth is that the nace of Purim didn't exist in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu never taught us how to respond precisely to the nace of Purim. But the Chachamim, 1,000 years later, had to extrapolate and say, well, the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, they were mechuyif to respond in such and such a manner. You see that that's what the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants of us. You see that the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us not to ignore nisim, but the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to respond in the appropriate manner. So therefore, the Ramban says that becomes an effect like a din d'oraisa. It's not that the Chum are making up a mitzvah. If the Chum would come one day and say, we think it's a great idea, everybody should stand on their heads for 5 minutes on Tuesday nights. Said, what kind of mitzvah is that? That doesn't correspond to anything. There's no mitzvah of that in the Torah. There's no zechah to that in the Torah. But when the Chum said, we want you to lay in the Megillah, that really makes a lot of sense. If you're laying the Megillah, you know why? Because you see the Torah wants us to respond to Nisim. As Yashin, the whole Parsha and Chumash, as Yashin Moshe, we say Kshir Siyam every day. So you see that as Yashin Moshe is the correct halachic response to a miracle. So Hua Dinami, the reading of the Megillah, is the correct halachic response. Or the lighting of Neres Hanukkah, the saying of all Nisim, these are all the correct halachic response. If you look at all the mitzvahs derabbanan that were instituted, all millions of them, count them on one hand, all the mitzvahs derabbanan that were instituted, what were they? So I'm talking about mitzvahs which are not siyazim, nothing to do with gezeiros. They weren't to protect us from anything. They were merely mitzvahs derabbanan. So how many are there? How many mitzvahs derabbanan are there? So we have Neres Hanukkah, we have Kriyas Megillah, we have perhaps the same Hal on Yom Tov, according to some of the derabbanan. You have Neir Shabbos, you have saying brachas before you eat. How many are there? Five mitzvahs derabbanan that were instituted, which have no shaychas to a siyaz, to a gezeiros, to a siyaz, whatever. In each one of the cases, if you look carefully, you find that it's not that the Chum made up these mitzvahs, Yesh V'yayin. The idea was basically rooted in the Chumash itself. But it only applied in a very limited sense in the Chumash. The Torah didn't speak about Purim. It didn't happen yet. So the Torah gave us a very, very limited model of celebrating a nace. And now the Chum have the right to extend that model. But by doing so, what they're really saying is that we're fulfilling the Kavanas HaTorah. We're really doing what it says in the Torah to do. You want to call it mitzvah chiyuvis, mitzvah chiyuvis, whatever halachic lingo you want to use. But the bottom line is, it's not that we're making up a mitzvah, we're merely applying a pre-existing concept. Well, let's say, for example, the Chachamim said you have to light Neiris Shabbos. So it's true, it doesn't say in the Chumash to light Neiris Shabbos. When a woman bangs Shlech and she says, Shere Kedishon to the Lahadik Neiris Shabbos, it's not a mitzvah in the Torah. It doesn't say B'Dav Hashem Moshulim to light Neiris Shabbos. But what does it say in the Torah? It does say in the Torah, Zoch Hashem Shabbos Lekacho. It does say in the Torah, Shabbos has to be a different day. It does say in the Nevi'im, Bekaros L'Shabbos, Ha'inik, Mekdosh Yom HaChuban. The Torah and the Divrei Nevi'im do single out the Shabbos. It's not enough just not to do Malach on Shabbos. Shabbos is not just sitting back and sleeping. Shabbos is Mekra Kedish, and Shabbos L'Shem HaKecha, and Zoch Hashem Shabbos Lekacho. The Torah says you have to demarcate and make it a nice, pleasurable day. So the Chachamim instituted that part of the way to make it into a nice, pleasurable day. You have light in the house. If it's dark and you're walking from shul and you step on somebody's feet, and you trip on the furniture, so that's going to detract from the Zochus Yom Shabbos Lekacho. So the Chachamim are not claiming that lighting Yom Shabbos is what it says in the Chumash. Nobody would say that. They're not saying it was Halacha Moshe Sinai either. They're just saying that we're instituting as the proper fulfillment how to go about to demarcate Shabbos for the rest of the week in another manner. Or when it comes to making brachas before we eat. So the Torah itself only says you have to thank a Kodesh Baruch Hu after you finish eating. The Chalkmas of Adavirachta, Bichas and Mazas, Biraisa, only after you finish eating. But you see from here that obviously the Torah is trying to teach us to be appreciative. The whole point of Bichas and Mazas is across the time, Kodesh Baruch Hu wants us to understand that we don't own everything. That Kodesh Baruch Hu Yodi is the same Pasha as Pasha Zekev in contrast to Bichas and Mazas. Bichas and Mazas teaches us not to say Kodesh Baruch Hu Yodi, that's all us. So the Chacham said, you know, we need a little boost to that. It's not enough just to say brachas amazim. We need a little bit more. You got to make sure to make a bracha before you eat also. That'll also enhance. So the Chacham are making up mitzvahs. Every time the Chacham make a mitzvah, they're not making a mitzvah. They're merely applying, they're extending, they're taking a pre-existing mitzvah and just putting in a little bit of a different spin on it. So the Chachamim are not making up mitzvahs. They're applying the proper Torah concepts in new situations, in new scenarios. So we're going to have to, that's a whole different shit. It's going to be a whole different shit. Means what koach, if any, does the Chum have to subtract? Up here we're talking about adding, not any koach to subtract. So the bottom line is, according to what we're suggesting, basically what the Ramban is telling us is that there are really two different kochos that the Chum have. There are really two very different sources for the mitzvahs derabbanan, the dinim derabbanan that we have. One source is in the Rav of Isurim, which is rooted in Asus Yavla Torah, Asum Shmatas Mishmati, and the other one is rooted in the fact that they're merely extending a pre-existing concept of Min HaTorah. This is, of course, in contrast that we start off the with the Rambam. The Rambam doesn't bind any of it. The Rambam says, what do you mean all this for? The Rambam says, I'll tell you why the Chum have a right to make mitzvahs, and they have a right to make Yisurim. But it says, it's much easier. According to Rambam, you don't have to search, you don't have to dray and make up new categories. According to Rambam, it's very simple. Whatever the Chum say goes. Whether it's a siyag, whether it's not a siyag, whether it makes sense, whether it's enhancing the Torah. The Chum said something, no sauce, and then a dovish and smoke. According to Rambam, it's straightforward. But the Ramban didn't say that. The Ramban said that possible sauce is only by their Isis, to interpret their Isis, to relate their Isis, but to make up new dinim doesn't exist. So what is that cost to make up new dinim? So by siyagim, it's based on one thing, and by Mrs. Essay, it's based on something else. That what seems to be the simple reading of the Ramban based on how he interpreted the Gemara in Masechet Megillah Daf Yud Dalet. There is a slightly different nuance of the Shittas of Ramban, which is quoted by Rabbi Chaim Wasserman in the name of Reb Chaim. So hopefully, Mitzvah Shem, next week, we're going to continue part two of the Koach of the Chachamim, which is going to begin with a little bit of a different understanding of the Ramban, which is going to perhaps open up a whole new understanding of some possible differences between Dinam Deraisa and Dinam Derabban. So that Shem, next week, will be pretty much a continuation of the set of Ramban Kamos, but continuation of this particular. Okay.